Good morning, church family. Good to see all of you today. Before I start into the message, I want to let you know that next Sunday evening, so a week from today at 6 p.m., we will be hosting our network of churches, the Southern California Presbytery of ECO, to ordain Pastor Caitlin Shan. And so I want to invite you to, we can clap for that. You know, it is relatively unusual for churches to have someone who was actually born into that congregation and baptized into that congregation and grew up in that congregation become ordained and be able to serve in the congregation that they were were born into. And so we're excited to celebrate that. So a week from today, 6 p.m. in this room, we'll have representatives from the other churches in our presbytery, and encourage you to come and to be part of that. All right. You know, every decade seems to have its favorite TV show about friendship. In the 1980s, it was Cheers, the bar where everyone knows your name. And then in the 90s, it was Seinfeld. And then it was Friends. And in the 2000s, it was How I Met Your Mother. Now, the show that I watched the most was Seinfeld. And one of the ongoing jokes in Seinfeld are all the shallow reasons that the main characters break up with people they're dating before things ever have the opportunity to get very serious. She's a low talker. He's too nice. She has man hands. He has the same name as a serial killer. She likes the Cotton Dockers commercial. And the list of shallow reasons goes on and on and on. And we laugh because sometimes we find shallow reasons to avoid deep connections with people too. Sometimes we cut off relationships with people before healthy connections even have the opportunity to start to form. And don't get me wrong, there are times when it's appropriate to step back in a relationship, and there are other times when it's even appropriate to break off a relationship entirely when it's gotten unhealthy or it's no longer good for you or the other person. But sometimes we avoid good and healthy connections with people for pretty shallow reasons. We're in week 3 of our Combating Loneliness series. And in the first week from Genesis chapter 1, we saw that we are created for a relationship with God and for connections with other people as part of being made in the image and likeness of God. And then last week, Pastor Kate showed us from Genesis chapter 3 how sin has isolated us from God, from each other, from our world, and even from our own selves. Humanity's fall into sin created a hierarchy of isolation, making it difficult for us to create and sustain healthy, meaningful, godly connections with other people. But the good news is that God sent Jesus into our world to reconcile us to God and to begin to heal us from the fallout of sin in our world. So today we're going to look at some ways to deepen our connections with other people, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so I want to invite you, if you're able, would you stand for the reading of God's word today? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And those parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should all have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You can be seated. The human body is a complex system of different parts that all work together for a common goal. A typical human body has 206 different bones, 79 different organs, 11 different organ systems. And Paul pictures the Christian community here as a body because the early church was filled with lots of different kinds of people. In verse 13 of our reading, it says that through our baptism by the Holy Spirit into Christ, we are immersed into a diverse community. Jew and Gentile, slave and free, in Galatians chapter 3 adds male and female. The distinction between Jews and Gentiles was the most pronounced racial, ethnic, and cultural division that existed back in the ancient world. And the distinction between slaves and free was the most pronounced socioeconomic division that existed back then. Through Christian baptism, the church is comprised of people from many different backgrounds and stories, races and cultural practices and socioeconomic levels. But it's one thing to put all these different people into a group. It's quite another thing for those people to form deep, healthy, godly connections with each other. And that's where this body image comes into play. Just as a human body is made of many different parts, the Christian community is made of many different kinds of people. This passage says that bodies are made of feet and hands, eyes and ears. And if the whole body were reduced to any one of those body parts, it would cease to be a body. A body, by definition, is an integrated system of different parts, hands and feet, ears and eyes. A foot isn't any less part of the body than a hand is. An eye isn't any less part of a body than an ear is. Feet need hands, eyes need ears, and vice versa. Verses 22 through 24 divide these body parts into different categories. Some body parts seem weaker, and some body parts seem stronger. Body parts with lots of muscles, like a leg or an arm, are strong. But the parts that might seem weaker are actually indispensable. Our eyes are weak in comparison to our legs, but just try walking without your eyes and see where that gets you. Actually, you won't see where that gets you without your eyes. Some body parts are more honorable than others. At the gym, when some people go to the gym, they only work on what are sometimes called their vanity muscles. The vanity muscles are the muscles you can see when you're wearing a tank top or a t-shirt. And some body parts are like vanity muscles. They're visible and celebrated. But less honorable, less visible parts are just as important, if not more important. Some parts are unpresentable, says Paul. These are our private parts, the parts of our bodies that make us male or female. And we treat these parts of our bodies with special modesty. Bible scholar N.T. Wright says that back in the ancient world, these body parts were often viewed as dirty, shabby, and evil. But here, they're celebrated as God-given. The fact that we treat these parts of our body with special modesty points to their value, not their lack of value. God has wisely arranged all the parts of the human body so it can live. The various parts, as different as they are, should have the same concern for each other, whether they're weak or strong, more or less honorable, presentable or unpresentable. Because if one part suffers, the whole body suffers. And if one part is honored, the whole body rejoices. The church is the body of Christ, and each of us are individually members of that body. Now, there's a principle here that I want to explore that I think relates to connecting with other people. And the principle is this: we are all naturally drawn to people who are just like us. We are naturally drawn to people who are just like we are. Hands are naturally drawn to other hands. No one understands a hand like another hand. Eyes will never understand the challenges that hands face. Eyes will never understand blisters or hangnails. So hands prefer to hang out with other hands because other hands understand them. We are all drawn to people. We're like we are. We gravitate to people from the same background as us. If we're from a large family, we are drawn to people who are from large families. If we vote a particular way, we're drawn to people who vote the same way that we vote. If we grew up in the Midwest, we're drawn to other Midwesterners. If we learned English as a second language, we're drawn to other people who learned English as a second language. And the list goes on and on. Hands prefer to hang out with hands, feet with feet, ears with ears, eyes with eyes. But you can't have a body made up only of hands or only of eyes. But we tend to prefer people who are just like we are. But here's another problem. No one is exactly like we are. No matter how much you have in common with another person, you will eventually find ways that they are different than you. A hand will say, "You're a lefty? You're not like me." An eye will say, "Oh, you're a blue eye? You're not like me." You see, even when we restrict ourselves to people who are just like us, we eventually discover that no one is exactly like us. And this is the way that God has designed it. Other people are other than we are. And when we discover that someone is other than we are, we are tempted to disconnect from them because our natural inclination is to prefer to be with people who are just like us. We are drawn to sameness. And this is how our world functions. Our world organizes itself according to sameness. We organize ourselves into nations and cultures based on common values or common ethnicity or common ideas. Our friend groups and our neighborhoods are often marked by sameness. We even see it in our churches. Years ago, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the week in America. This is the way our world is. No matter where you go, every culture, every place. But the Bible presents a different vision for the church. The church is a body where different kinds of people are joined together in a diverse community by virtue of their common baptism by the Spirit into Christ. Jew and Greek, slave and free, men and women are members brought together into a single body. And in this body, these differences are not erased. Jews don't become Gentiles. Men don't become women. Rich don't become poor. Feet don't become hands. Eyes don't become ears. These differences are preserved and sanctified for the sake of the whole community. So how does this body analogy help us learn to connect with other people? Well, if our natural tendency is to connect with people who are just like us, but no one is exactly like us, and that's by God's design, we will constantly be tempted to disconnect with people when we discover that they are other than we are. We'll be like the parody of Seinfeld, finding shallow reasons to disconnect before those connections get too deep. We need to learn some new habits if we want to form and sustain deep and healthy and godly connections with each other. Here are three practical habits from this text. First, we connect with others by valuing their differences. Valuing their differences. In our culture, we hear a lot about tolerance, and tolerance isn't bad so far as it goes, but it sets the bar way too low because the focus here in 1 Corinthians is on value. Feet valuing hands, eyes valuing ears, because people are different. They have different stories, different life experiences, different values, different opinions, different politics. They come from different backgrounds and cultures. And when the early Christians learned to value each other's differences, the early church flourished. Jewish people learned from Greeks, Egyptians, and Romans, and vice versa. The wealthy learned from the poor, the popular from the marginalized, the popular from the despised. Men and women learned from each other. If you want to connect with others, you need to learn to value people's otherness. And that means more than tolerating them. It means checking our assumptions at the door and cultivating a holy curiosity when we meet someone who's different than us. It means asking questions and really listening to what the person says. If God has made every person unique by design, we won't be able to connect with people unless we learn to value those differences. Here's a second habit. We connect with others by relying on their strengths. Relying on their strengths. As we learn to value people's differences, we'll see that other people have strengths that we don't have. And sometimes we're tempted to envy those strengths. I wish I was outgoing as she is, or as creative as he is, or as smart as she is, or as organized as he is. And we get down on ourselves. Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. But as we connect with people who are different than we are, we can learn to rely on what they're good at and we're not. If we're a hand, hands won't have as much to offer us. They can clap for us. They can give us a hand. See what I did there? I know, it was bad. But feet can take us places that hands never could. If we're an eye, all the other eyes in our lives will reduce every problem to seeing things more clearly. But not every problem is about seeing. Some problems are about hearing. And an ear can help us listen better. And this is hard for us because we really don't like to rely on other people, especially people who are different than we are. If we're a hand, we like to secretly pretend that hands, you know, they're really the most important part of the body. After all, you know, feet, they get smelly, eyes get dry, ears get earwax. But if we can really start to value people's differences, that opens the door for us to rely on other people's strengths. Now, let me add one qualification. We can't rely fully on any one person other than Jesus. Even with their strengths, other people will let us down, and we will let them down. When my wife, Cindy, first moved to California over 20 years ago, she prayed for a best friend. She prayed and prayed, and she never found that one friend. But then one day she realized that she had several friends. She had one friend she could talk theology with, but that friend would like never offer to watch her kids. She had another friend that would invite her kids over to swim every week, but she didn't talk theology with that friend. She had another friend that would invite her to go out and have a glass of wine occasionally. She had a village of friends and realized that that was even better than just having one person and putting all that pressure on one person. We need the whole body. And as we learn to value people's differences, we connect with others by relying on their strengths. But here's a third habit. We connect with others by protecting their vulnerabilities. Protecting their vulnerabilities. Different body parts are vulnerable in different ways. Hands are susceptible to blisters. Feet get stubbed toes and twisted ankles. Eyes to dryness, ears to infections. And the deeper we connect with other people, the more we discover their vulnerabilities and the more they discover ours. Knowing each other's, another person's vulnerability is a sacred trust, a trust that can easily be broken. And the more connected we are to someone, the more potential there is for you to hurt them or for them to hurt you. And we've all been on the giving end and the receiving end of that kind of hurt. This is another reason why we're quick to cut off relationships before they get too deep. But in a body, one member hurting another member hurts the whole body, which means it hurts you. When one part of the body attacks other parts of the body, instead of protecting them, it's like an autoimmune disease. It's the body attacking itself. We connect with people by protecting their vulnerabilities. Not in a codependent, unhealthy, walking on eggshells kind of way, but by knowing where the person is vulnerable and seeking to protect them from harm. If a projectile is headed towards your face, your hand automatically covers your eye to protect your eye, protecting its vulnerability. If you break your hand, your feet can carry you to get help. It's protecting the hand's vulnerability. Some of the deepest betrayals that we experience in life don't come from strangers or enemies, but from people we're deeply connected to. I have those. Some of those relationships were eventually healed, some weren't. Some of those wounds were healed, some weren't. And I've failed to protect other people's vulnerabilities as well. We all have. We're not very good at this, which is why it's a habit that we need to develop. We connect with people by protecting their vulnerabilities. Part of the problem of isolation and loneliness today is that we're quick to break ties with people. It's called relational resilience. We lack relational resilience sometimes because we gravitate towards people who are just like us, hands with hands, eyes with eyes, ears with ears. And we're quick to break ties with people when we find out that they're not just like we are. But no one is just like we are. Today, we've been reminded from God's word that we are part of a body. And a body isn't just one part, no matter how strong, honorable, or presentable that one part might be. The body is a system of parts, a collection of members, all working together for the health and the life of the whole. By one baptism, we are all brought into one body, the body of Christ. And it doesn't matter what your background or politics, your culture or your race, your net worth or your job, your education, your marital status, your age, we are all grafted into the same body through our baptism into Christ. But connecting with others in that community takes some new habits, like learning to value differences, relying on strengths, and protecting vulnerabilities. Without these new habits, we'll just keep gravitating towards people who are just like we are, just like the world does. And then we'll continually be disappointed because no one is exactly like we are. And the closer we get, we'll realize that no one is just like me. Without these habits, we'll continually be drawn to others as other than we are. And that kind of life isn't just boring. It's lonely and isolating. We need people. We need people in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words from Scripture. And thank you for the reality, Lord, that none of us is more important than the other. God, help us develop these habits. Help us not be the kind of people who break off connections before they get too serious. Help us be people who admit our need for the rest of the body and humbly seek to serve that body in the way that we best can. God, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.